Amen. That's great stuff. I love it. And I hope that that's true of you, and that you just have this joy within you since Jesus has come into your heart and your life. Well, I'm excited again to be here this Sunday. I'm going to miss it next Sunday, but we'll be back at our regular place for our New Heart Baptist Church people. We will be back at our regular place next Sunday and our regular time, so keep that in mind. And let's see. Also, for the Park Place folks, thank you so much for letting us be a part. We have enjoyed last week and this week, and looking forward to the future. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what you guys are praying for and talking about this week or next week whenever I saw that meeting coming up. But I know what we're praying about, and I know what we're thinking about, and I do know this, and I will leave you with this, and I won't say any more about it. But just consider this, Park Place, and the New Heart folks that are here. We have a window of opportunity right now to reach this community for Jesus Christ. And you have stability. You have a beautiful facilities. You have a nice property. God's blessed you with a place to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm excited. If we become a part of that, we're excited. We don't have facilities, but we have young people, and we have some folks eager to join with some godly, spiritual, Jesus-loving, gospel-proclaiming saints, brothers and sisters in Christ who would join us in making disciples and being faithful to the end. So we have a window of opportunity. Let's pray about that. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 this morning, and I want to wrap up what I would call a little two-part series within a series, a little two-part series for us here at Park Place, Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. Last week, I believe we began somewhere around verse 17 or so, and we went down through verse 25, but I want us to focus in on verses 24 and 25 this week. And remember, we began this little mini theme at the end of verse 16, where the Bible says, "If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Christ." And that started this new theme of our future glory. And this passage here, verses 18 through 25, one of the greatest passages and the explanations in all of the Bible about suffering in this world, and especially the suffering of believers in this world. This is one of the greatest passages to turn to be reminded that our present suffering does not hold a candle to the future glory that awaits the children of God. So pick it up in verse 24 and 25, because that's kind of what the Apostle Paul does. He introduces a new theme within a theme, little mini theme. He works it out, and then he summarizes it and it applies it at the end. So that's where we are, verses 17 through 25. He works it out in verses 17 through 23. We tried to do that last week. And then in verses 24 and 25, he sums it up and applies it. And that's what I want to do this week as I talk about being saved in hope. Let's read it together. Chapter 8 of Romans, verses 24 and 25. "For we were saved in this hope." Yes, "for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Let's pray together. Oh God in heaven, we just come to you right now through Jesus, and through Jesus and by the Holy Spirit, we can cry out, "Abba, Father." Thank you for adopting us into your family. Thank you for making us children by adoption, by your choice, oh God, when we didn't deserve it, when we were not loving, while we were still helpless, while we were still sinners, while we were still ungodly, you adopted us into your family. And through the redemption, the shed blood of your Son, Jesus, who made Himself an offering for our sins. We just thank You so much for adopting us and making us Your children and for saving us, Lord Jesus, and for giving us the Holy Spirit. I pray right now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Pray that You would help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. I remember 20 years ago or so, the Lifeway put out a gospel tract titled, Here's Hope. And I remember one of our preaching professors in seminary was up on a mission trip in Maine with some students, and they had those tracts at those time, the title of it, Here's Hope. And he was talking with a waitress in a restaurant, a young lady, and she was just looking at the present condition of the world and her present circumstances that she was going through. And she replied to my professor, she said, I just wish there was hope somewhere. And he reached in his pocket and I'm so glad you said that. I want to hand you this track and talk about it. And it's titled, Here's Hope. And it went on to talk about the hope of what Jesus Christ can do for us if we would come to Him and we would believe on Him. Maybe you know that sometimes Jehovah's Witnesses will knock on your door, and sometimes if you're not home, they'll leave literature, and that literature will talk about a coming paradise on earth, a hope that they are looking to, but that's a false hope, that's a false religion, that's not true. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it just really gets you ready for hope. Because the book of Ecclesiastes tells us what life is like under the sun, with no reference to God, no reference to above the sun. Everything here is vanity, meaningless, nothingness, just emptiness, futility. No matter what you grasp for in this life, it's like little kids reaching out for bubbles that are floating out. That when we have a bubble machine and they chase a bubble and they reach out to grab it, and as soon as they touch it, poof, it's gone. That's the way everything in this world will leave you. Whatever you're looking for in this world, in this life, for hope, will leave you unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and hopeless in the end. The only hope we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you're saved, you're a child of God, and everything that He has is yours. Because He said, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And He is the owner and sustainer of all things. And so whatever is His is ours. And we don't have it all yet, but it's promised for us. And that's what I want to talk about, this hope for the children of God. Not only the hope of a person can be saved, made a new creature, given a new heart, sins forgiven, going to heaven when they die, but there's even yet more. There's more hope of a new heaven and a new earth and new glorified bodies one day. And even in the midst of the suffering that we go through on this earth, and in the midst of this hopeless world that we're living in right now, especially in our day, this is so important that we know this, there is hope for the child of God. Not only hope that we see right now, but there is hope in the future that we don't see yet, but we know it's coming. There's a future hope. There's a future glory coming. Again, last week I told you, it's going to be glorious when we die and our spirits go to be with Jesus forever. I think that's glorious. But there's still an unfulfillment of that. There's still a waiting in heaven of the saints, and there'll be a waiting of us for our souls to be reunited with our new glorified bodies and the new heaven and the new earth. Don't take away from dying and being with Jesus, because Paul said that is far better to depart this world and to be with Christ. Amen. Glorious. But that future glory is coming on the day that Jesus comes back. Someone says, when I got saved, it was the best day of my life. It can never get any better than this. But yes, it can, because there's a future glory coming. And some people say, well, when I got saved, I thought things were going to get better. And actually, now that I got saved, things have gotten worse. Amen? You know about that, don't you? Seems like when we get saved, now we're not going with the stream, we're going upstream. We're going against the stream. And we will suffer persecution, and we will suffer the losing of friends, and we will suffer not being popular, and we will suffer being ridiculed because of our faith. But it can get better, because not only do we have the hope of heaven when we die, but we have the hope of a new glorified body. We're going to share in the glory of God with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever, and with our saved loved ones in a new heaven and on a new earth. Anybody ever heard the song, "I Will Rise" by Chris Tomlin? It's awesome. Listen to some of the words. "There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead." I love this. "And I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings. Before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise." The last verse goes like this. "There's a day that's drawing near." I believe Chris Tomlin may have had this passage in mind when he wrote this. "There's a day that's drawing near when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes." And that's what this passage is talking about right here, folks. Hope that is seen is not hope. That's what he says. So I want to talk to you this morning. You know, when we laid my dad's body to rest on April the 2nd or April the 3rd, I had this hope that though we lay his body there beside my mom back in the ground, there's going to be one day a literal bodily resurrection of all the children of God. And they're going to have new glorified bodies. And this is so important for us to grasp today, as we're so depressed and we're talking about COVID and then more COVID and then the new Delta strand of COVID coming and then possible socialism coming already here somewhat in America and going to lose our freedom and lose our health care. And oh, what are we going to do? And we're just wringing our hands. What are we going to do? Well, folks, read this passage again and again and again and know that this world is not my home. If this world was my home, oh my goodness, we'd have no hope. But we have hope. Amen. Amen. We live for the next life. And so here's what I want us to see today. I want us to see, first of all, this truth from these verses. We were saved in hope. What does this mean? All right, look at your Bibles in verse 24 again. And I'm not sure what version you're reading from. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. And this version got it right. Literally, in the Greek language, it should read in the past tense. Its literal Greek is, "We have been saved." Something that has been done. You go back to Romans chapter 5, we had a wonderful time in Romans chapter 5. I had a ball in that chapter because I got to talk about what little Greek knowledge I gained in Bible college. And I got to talk about an awesome tense of verbs called the aorist tense in the Greek language. That means something that happened in the past. Boom, it happened. And then there was another tense in the Greek language that's a continual tense. It's something that happened in the past, but it has continual results. And it's just a great, great, great lesson. We had a good time there. But this should read past tense, something that has happened. We were, or we have been, saved. Now, if your Bible says by hope, that's not quite accurate enough. Because it might lead to this. People think, well, we're saved by hope. If I have hope, then I can be saved. But no, we're saved by grace through faith. In hope. The word there should read, in hope. Having been saved in hope. That's it right there. Now, the word hope in the Bible is not the same way you and I use hope. You know, I like snow. I'm just giving you something crazy that I just thought of top of my head. I hope it snows a lot this winter. I know, don't get mad at me, some of you. I hope it snows a lot this winter. Well, that doesn't mean anything that I hope it's going to snow. That doesn't mean it's going to snow this winter. I'm just hoping that it will. That's how we use the word here on earth. But when the Bible speaks of hope, it's not an uncertainty like, I hope this is going to happen, keeping my fingers crossed. No, this is a certainty. The Bible speaks of something that is absolutely certain. It is certain but not yet realized. No uncertainty at all in this word. We will share in the glory of God one day. That's our hope. It's certain. Absolutely going to happen. So we are saved in this realm or sphere of hope. So here's what I'm trying to say to you. It's glorious to be saved. I'm going to keep saying that. It's awesome. If you're here this morning and you're not yet saved, you should get saved today. Because you'll have your sins forgiven. You'll know that heaven is your home. You'll have a new joy and a new peace in your life, even in the midst of suffering, in the midst of the turmoil in this world. It's glorious. You ought to get saved today. But what I want you to know, according to this passage, is even though we're saved in this sphere of hope, that there's still something in the future that's not fully realized by us yet. It's realized in God's eyes because God sees time, past, present, and future all at one time. God sees it as already done. That's why if you go back in Romans chapter 5 and you realize that, or Romans chapter 3, where the Bible says God passed over the sins of the saints in the Old Testament. He passed over those sins because in His eyes the cross had already occurred, though it hadn't occurred yet. And that's how He forgave the saints in the Old Testament as they looked forward to the coming of Christ and the death of Christ. God didn't count their sins against them because the cross was already done in His mind. And He forgives us as we look back on the cross. But here's what I want you to know. We are saved by faith in hope. Now, go back to verse 23 with me real quick. Now, look at this. Notice what the Bible says in verse 23. Not only that, but we also, talking about the suffering of the creation and the groaning of creation, all of this world and the ocean and the clouds and the rain and the animals, all of creation is groaning right now. And verse 23 says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So what is he talking about right there? We're suffering. We're going through turmoil in this world and even in our lives. But he says, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit. What he's talking about right there is when you get saved, you get the first fruits. Kind of like I'm waiting on blueberries. Anybody got blueberries yet? Fresh blueberries? I'm waiting on them. I got our lady that is coming to teach our children in our Bible club, 5-day club that's coming up August 8th through the 12th. It's coming. Miss Summer, she keeps us in supply of fresh eggs and also fresh blueberries this time of year. And I texted her the other day, where's my blueberries? You're supposed to bring me blueberries. And she says, I'm not sure if they're ready yet. Well, if you have blueberries, and maybe there's a few blueberries that are ripe, but they're not all done yet. Well, there's a couple of them. I'll have a few of these. These are ripe, but there's no more. Well, you and I have the first fruits of the Spirit when we get saved. We get forgiveness of sins. We get that joy. We have a new desire for God and a new desire to get rid of sin in our life. There's a newness about us. We can pray. We can read the Bible. We can have victory over sins. I mean, those are the first fruits of the Spirit. But we still, the Bible says, even in that, we ourselves groan within ourselves waiting for the adoption. You say, Pastor, we're already adopted as children. Yeah, if you're saved, you are. But the fullness of that adoption is not here yet. That's the day we're looking for. So we have the first fruits, but we still suffer. We still groan. The remnants of sin still remains in our bodies. The tendencies to sin still remain in our bodies. Amen? Or oh me. Y'all with me this morning? Do y'all still have tendencies to sin within you? Because I sure do. That's just our fallen nature, the remnants of sin. This body still has cravings and desires. This body is still prone to aging. Ugh. And sickness and injury and suffering. But we can know that we are children of God, as the Bible said and we talked about last week. We can know that we're children of God, and if children, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's in verse 16 and 17. And we know if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we can know that the best is still yet to come. We're not there yet. We don't have it all yet. Okay? It's kind of like two little boys. One of the boys' name is Passion, and one of the boys' name is Patience. I get this from Pilgrim's Progress book. And Passion, there's some toys and some things for the little boys. And Passion wants his now. He can't wait till Christmas. He can't wait till the time they're supposed to. He wants them now. I want it now. I want to enjoy it now. And so he gets them, and he enjoys his toys now. And then in a few days, they're tore up. They're worn out. They're gone. He's not enjoying them anymore. And Patience says, I'll wait. I'll wait till the fullness of that comes. And then Patience ends up getting the fullness of it, and they don't wear out, and he keeps getting more. And while Passion was laughing at Patience because he had his now, ha ha, you don't, well, his are gone, and now Patience, who waited, has his, and he has the last laugh. Folks, there are people in this world right now enjoying their sins today, and you and I may be suffering. But I'm telling you, we get the last laugh because there will be coming a day of reckoning for them, and there will be coming a day of the full adoption for us. We live for the next life. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what this means. Don't set our minds and our hearts and our hope on politicians or somebody's going to make things better. I struggle with that. I'm just being honest with you. We live for the next life. There still remains something that's not yet realized. We're not there yet. We're not in heaven yet. And if we die, we won't have our glorified bodies yet. We're not fully perfected yet. We're not fully sanctified yet. We're not fully freed from all sin yet. We're not free from suffering yet. We're not free from disease and sickness and aging and injury yet. There remains something that's not yet realized. And that's what that word hope means. It looks forward to the expectation of entering fully into that which He has obtained for us. And by the way, there's some stages. And I'm just telling you what this hope means. What does this mean, saved in hope? See, there's stages of our salvation can be broken down into the past and the present and the future. I have been saved back there somewhere. There's a point in my life when Jesus saved me. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know He saved me. By the way, I don't think you have to know the exact time, the exact place, the exact date. Some of you do. Praise the Lord. That's an awesome memory. Some of you aren't exactly sure when it actually truly took place, but you know Christ saved you. But somewhere in the past, we believed in Christ. We repented of our sins, and He saved us. Amen. But presently, for the present, I know I'm saved. I know Christ has saved me. I see it. I see it in my life. I know today that I'm saved. And in the future, I know that I will be saved. Chapter 5, you got to go to chapter 5 and read it, tells us that in the future, because of what Christ did for us, we will be saved from the wrath of God, which is coming one day. And that's the future. We will be saved from that. And it'll be full one day. It'll be complete. Here's how Charles Spurgeon says it. The past is forgiven you, the present is provided for, and the future is secured by the living power of Jesus Christ. He says, when Jesus Christ cried out, "It is finished," righteousness was perfected, divine justice was satisfied, blood was shed, redemption was paid, and sins were forgiven. Amen. And we can enjoy the benefits of that now. But we were saved in hope of something that is still not fully realized yet. There's more to come. At the present, we're groaning and, And there's mildew on the flowers, and the earth shakes and groans, and there's calamities and disasters and sickness and disease. No paradise on earth can be found right now. Ecclesiastes, everything is vanity below the sun, under the sun. But if you look above the sun to the S-O-N, Son of God, there's hope. And there's a future hope coming, folks. And that's what this is talking about. Are y'all with me? There's a hope of when we die, we're going to be with Christ. Our spirits will immediately go be with Christ. Please know, that's awesome and that's a great hope. But this is talking about something even further. There's going to be a full and final completeness to our salvation when our bodies join our spirits, our glorified bodies on a new heaven and a new earth. That's the hope. But then secondly, I not only want us to see that we're saved in hope, what it means. I want us to see we were saved in hope of the truth. Let me just tell you just for a minute why we know this is true. Why this isn't, I hope I'm going to heaven when I die. By the way, can I just say on a side note, You're not a sinner. You're not sinning. You're not way down on the low list of a Christian if sometimes you have seasons of doubt. It happens to all of us. Sometimes we all have those struggles. Well, man, I hope I'm really saved. And the devil wants us to doubt. He wants us to go through those times. Sometimes we do, don't we? But I just want you to know that this hope right here, this is a no-so hope. This is an absolute certainty, folks. Why does he say that in these verses? In verse 24, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." You read those verses and you say, but what are we hoping for? Read the verses before. And then you see what we're hoping for. Go back to chapter 5 to all those aorist tense, all those past tense verbs back in chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith," aorist tense, done. God's already declared you justified. He's already declared you righteous in His sight because of what Christ did for you and your faith in Him, not of anything we've done. Already been declared righteous in God's sight. It's already a done deal. We know. And then we start reading the clear promises of the Word of God. How about 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4? Y'all ready for this promise? See, we're saved in the hope of the truth. Why we know? Because of the promises in the Word of God. 1 Peter 1, 4. Listen. I've got to back up a little bit to verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Here it is in verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Amen. That's our hope, and we know it's true because the Bible says so. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. I love this. Ephesians 1, verse 13. You got to see this. I'll probably come back to this in a minute. I might be getting ahead of myself. "In Him, in Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth." This is how you got saved. "In Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." I'll come back to that one, okay? But right there, what he's talking about is the Holy Spirit is given to us the moment we're saved as the down payment, as the first fruits, as the guarantee of our inheritance that's coming. So if you go in chapter 8, and I'm just telling you, we know this hope is coming because, pick up the thought here with me in, let's see where we're at here, verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We have the spirit of adoption where we cry out to our Father, Abba. Look at verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He's building of why we have assurance. We know that we have been adopted by God. We know that we're saved because we see the Spirit of God leading in our lives. We know that we've been adopted. We cry out to Him, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we really are children of God. And if children, then heirs. And if heirs, then joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, yes, we suffer, that we may also be glorified together. And then watch what He calls this coming day. I know I said this last week. I just want you to see it again. Watch what He calls it in these verses. Verse 18, the glory. That's what we're talking about this coming day. Do you see it right there? Not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's a coming glory that's going to be revealed in us. This is promised in the Word of God. Look in verse 19, creation eagerly waits for the hope of this revealing. There's going to be a revealing of the sons of God on that day. And then verse 20, Verse 21, creation also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into glorious liberty. There's coming freedom for us. We're going to be delivered from the corruption of this dead body, this sinful, vile body. Amen. And then verse 22, verse 23, waiting for the adoption. That's what it's called, the adoption. And then look at the last part, the redemption of our body. That's what we're saved in, folks. That hope. That coming day when our adoption is made known to everybody. Right now, Right now, you may not be known to a lot of people. But that day's coming when, as children of God, we're going to be revealed as such before angels and before all of those who aren't going to be in heaven. We're going to be revealed as tokens of His grace. Amen. And that's why we know we're saved. We know because of what the Bible says. We have this assurance. We know. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, we've already been seated and in the heavenly places. And if you look down in verse, it's coming. Y'all aren't going to be with me, but New Heart Baptist Church, we're going to get down to these next few verses and where it goes on to say in verse 9, those past tense verbs, whoever He predestined, He also called, whom He called, He also justified. That's already been done. Then He says, these He also glorified, but that's not happened yet. But God, in God's eyes, it's already done. Man, I hope y'all are following. The last thing I want you to see is, not only we're saved in hope, what does this mean? Not only we were saved in hope of the truth, why we know because of the Bible and the promises of God, but then thirdly and lastly, I want you to see we were saved in hope of anticipation, of the certainty that this is really coming. Look in verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Go back to verse 19. He's already used that word eagerly. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And we're eagerly waiting with perseverance for that day. That's how we can get through suffering in this life. Because we are waiting eagerly for that day. That day's coming. We might suffer now. We might not like it now. But that day's coming. And that's how we, because the Bible says so, we can eagerly wait in sure anticipation of it. We've not yet attained what we ought to be yet. Can you say that this morning? Can you say, I'm not yet where I ought to be. I'm not there yet. But when you look back on your life, can you say, but by the grace of God, I'm sure not what I used to be or where I used to be. Amen. And we're growing. And sanctification is a process. and we get upset with ourselves. I think that's part of the groaning that Paul talks about, that we're groaning because we just can't be rid of sin. Folks, when's the last time you just groaned because you just can't whip certain sins and you just, I just want to be rid of sin. I want to be completely holy like Jesus. That's one of the groanings we have. Evil still remains within us somewhat. We can't get rid of the memory of sin. But I just wonder this morning, are you sick of sin and sick of yourself and sick of this world and sick of sinful thoughts and sinful imaginations? And do you cry with Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" You see, the closer we get to more holiness, the more we shall mourn over the tiniest speck of sin in our lives. We should never get to the point in our lives where, I've arrived. I'm there. I finally reached holiness. We'll never make it in this life. But we have a firm hope of something better. And so I think we groan because we want to be rid of sin. And I think we groan because of our bodies. And the aging, and the disease, and the sickness, and the mortal bodies that we live in. You see, the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God as it is, our sinful bodies. But on that day, Jesus is going to raise our dead bodies and make them glorified bodies where our bodies will match our saved souls. And that's going to be a glorious day. Where right now we're filled with aches and pains and weariness and aging and even mental illness. But thinking about the day that's coming, folks, it's going to be so awesome. Don't complain because we know the joy's coming and we know the time is coming when there's going to be no more sneezing and allergies. Amen. No more Arthur bothering us in our lives. You know who Arthur is, don't you? No more arthritis bothering us. Amen. No more aches and pains. No more tears. God's going to wipe away our tears. It's going to be an awesome day, and that's the day we're waiting for. We're waiting as a little boy whose dad goes out of town. And he says, "Now I'll be back in 5 days, and we're going to go fishing." And every day the little boy gets up and looks out his window. "Is it 5 days yet, Mama?" He's waiting. He's persevering through those 5 days because his dad said he's coming back and he knows he's coming back and he's going fishing on that 5th day. So he's looking and he's waiting. So you and I should live our lives in anticipation of that day and get our eyes off of this world and off of COVID and off of all the ugliness that's going on and keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I like how Charles Spurgeon says it. Listen to these words. He says, "Yes, it will come, surely come. Therefore, let us patiently wait for it. When Satan would buffet us, when temptation would overcome us, when affliction would wear us down, when doubts would torment us, let us bear the temporary trial with constancy, for we shall soon be out of range of gunshot." Amen. "The consummation shall come and must come. And when it cometh, we shall remember no more our travail for joy that our heaven is born to us and we to it." You know, if you're here this morning and you don't have Jesus Christ, I would like to ask what your hope is. Or maybe you're watching on the internet right now. If you don't know Jesus, what's your hope? I recall to mind a wise old man was talking to a young guy one day and he said, "What are you going to do with your life?" I call this the "them what." If you want to use a tactic to bring somebody to Jesus, I call it "then what them." Use the "them what" on them. What does that mean? Well, the old man said, "What are you going to do with your life?" He said, "Well, I think when I graduate from high school, I'm going to go to college." He said, "That's wonderful. Then what?" Well, he said, "Well, then I'll graduate from college and I'll start my career." And he said, "That's great. Then what?" He said, "Well, then I'll get married." "Then what?" "Well, then I'll have children and raise a nice family." He said, "Great. Then what?" "Well, then I'll grow old and hopefully have grandchildren one day." He said, "Awesome. Then what?" He said, "Well, then I'll live an awesome retirement." drink coffee. Yeah. He said, that's great. Then what? Then what? The funeral home? The cemetery? Stand before God and be judged? Receive your sentence? Torment in hell forever and ever and ever. What we all deserve. But then for the believer, we didn't get what we deserved, did we? Instead, God gave us what we don't deserve, which is grace. Unearned, unmerited favor. No punishment for our sins because Jesus Christ was already punished for us. And He's already risen from the dead. And so we get heaven forever and ever and ever. And one day a new glorified body and a new heaven and on a new earth. Let's live in this hope. And if you don't have that hope, I beg you to come to Jesus today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. It cuts sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's able to discern our thoughts. Lord, I pray right now that You would search us and see where we are and where the then what is in our life. Do we have this hope because You've saved us, or are we hoping in something in this world? Lord, I pray for some right now to come to Jesus and be saved. Lord, I pray for those who are saved to keep their eyes on You as the author and finisher of our faith. We love You and praise You in the name of Jesus. Amen.